2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have we'll start there today. What is it? No?
Testing one.
Testing. Yeah, it's working. Who knows? Okay. I wanted to share on the topic of born again to serve today. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start there in verse 4. It says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament or the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." It says there that it is God who made us able. I don't think anybody here will deny that the world needed a Savior and still needs that Savior. The world was in a situation where it says that all men had fallen short and come short of the glory of God. People needed a Savior. But once Jesus Christ came, right, that Savior was now available and people could believe on Him and have eternal life, right? As many as went to the Lord for eternal life got it, right? Once a person gets born again, right, the Bible says that now we are equipped. God is the one who makes us able to do whatever needs to be done. It's not us who now, because we believed in Jesus Christ, not all of a sudden, okay, now I can now do all these things because of my ability. It says God is the one who enables us. So lest we should ever think that our service we provide is on our own ability, right? It's not, right? It's God who enables you and me to serve, right? It's, you know, we make a decision to come to Jesus Christ, yes. But after that time, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that we have. It says there, the Spirit. Once we receive the Spirit, now we have the ability to serve others, right? Because of what God has done. I want that to be very clear. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just to look at that a little bit more. In chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward." The power is to usward who believe. That power is available to us who have believed on Him. "According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." So God put that power in Jesus Christ. When He raised Him from the dead, Christ is now within us. We have access to the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, "and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." And because Christ is in you and me now, if the Lord is above all that, are we above all that as well? That's what it says, right? I mean, even if you're the feet of Jesus Christ, right? You're still above all principality, power, might, and dominion. So lest we should think that we don't have the ability to serve others, well, the Bible says otherwise, right? We've been given access to the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, right? We're far above all principality, power, and might. So then any enablement that we need in order to serve has been provided by what Jesus Christ did for us. It's not like we're lacking anything, right? It's not like that I need to wait while, you know, I'm at year X in my growth and by year Z I'll be ready to serve. No, that's not it. We've been given the enablement. We've been given the ability to serve, right? We far above all principality and power, unless we should ever think that we don't have, or that well, who am I? How can I possibly? Well, it says that all believers, right? Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Verse chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. We're quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? So where that is the position that we spiritually hold now, so we don't ever need to think that we're lacking anything or lacking any ability in order to serve as believers, right? In Mark chapter 10. Let's stay in the chapter 2 of Ephesians for a second, please. Go to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Direct access to God, not strangers, not on the outside saying, gee, I really wish, you know, I could be in there with that group where, no, we're on the inside. Like you know, people have said, we know where the refrigerator is, right? Yeah. Right? Teenagers know where the refrigerator is. You know, we know where the fridge is. We kick our shoes off, make ourselves at home, leave candy wrappers all around the house. No, never mind. Just a little point about the last few days. No, just it's like there's a real hominess with God. So we're not on the outside looking in. We're on the inside. And God has said, while you're on the inside, you can talk to me anytime you want to. I've seated you in on high. I've given you access to me. Whatever you need, here am I, right? So there's nothing missing for us in order to do what God has called us to do. Mark chapter 10. That's what I really wanted to get to today. Just wanted to look at those few verses. There's many more, as you know. But just a few verses to show us that, you know, we're not lacking anything. We're complete in Christ. We have the ability. There's a great record in Mark chapter 10. In verse 35. John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. So they wanted something from Jesus. And he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, and one on the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. So these guys were seeking position, right? They wanted a position. You know, Lord, make me your left and right hand. You know, I want to sit. Give me those two coveted positions. I love Jesus Christ's response. He says there in verse 42, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. So the people who receive positions in the world, right, have the lordship over them. You know, this guy here tells this guy here what to do, and he goes, yes, sir, I'll do it. That's lordship. They're lording it over, right? And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. So he's saying, look, if you receive a position from me, it doesn't work that way, right? You don't get to lord it over people, right? He's telling, setting them straight. I love the way he sets them straight. But so shall it not be among you, but whomsoever would be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. You want the highest position, he says? You're going to serve everybody. That's a little opposite from the corporate structures we see in our society, right? He says, you want that position? You're going to serve everybody. He says, for even the Son of Man, verse 45, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He says, you want position, then you need to learn to serve, right? That's what he said. Even he said, I didn't come here to get ministered. Could he have asked for, he's the Son of God, right? The only begotten Son of God. He could have said, serve me, but he didn't do that. I didn't come to serve, he said, I came to minister. And he said, that's what you're called to do, right? To minister. Right? Look at Acts chapter, sorry, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, it's very easy when people come to Christianity or to the Word of God. You know, some of us have been here for many years, others later and all that in life, but it's very easy to come to God and think about God as, well, here's God, my Father, and here's me down here. I have all these little needs here, or big needs, or medium needs, whatever size needs I have, right? And say, I'm going to really look to him to meet all these needs, and I'm going to now see how he can take care of me, right? And that's, you know, when you first have a need for a Savior, there's a lot of that, right? Because we need help, right? You need it. You need help. I mean, you know, outside the fold, no hope without God in the world, dead and trash, you know, we need help, okay? Face it. There's a lot of areas where we need help. But once we come to him, the Bible says that we are made complete. We're enabled. We have the Spirit of God. We're seated in the heavenlies, right? And then, right, Christianity is not a what can you do for me every day religion. It's not a religion at all, really. Right? It's not a what God can do for you. And he will. Will God not bless us every day? You know, he says, I know. He says in the Word that I know what you need before you even ask me. Right? I'll take care of you. But Jesus Christ said he didn't come to minister, but didn't come to be ministered unto, he came to minister. Right? So for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, there has to be a change in a believer's thinking once we get born again and, you know, we read some of God's Word and begin to understand it. The thinking has to start being outward, right? The thinking has to change. It's not what can God do for me, but how can I serve others, right? How can I first serve Jesus Christ and as a result serve others? Doesn't it say we're to follow Christ somewhere? A few places, right? Paul said, be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ, right? So what did Jesus Christ do? He gave his life for others, right? So he came to minister, not to be ministered unto. The same as us, Jesus Christ said, you want position? You start serving everybody, right? So in order to serve Christ, you know, there has to be this outward looking in life. What can I do to bless you? What can I do to serve you, right? What can I do to help bring the Word to my coworker, my associate, my cousin, anybody we see? What can I do to help, right, to bring the Word out there? In Acts chapter 26, when Paul the Apostle was brought before the king, he gave a little rundown of his life and how he had been called. Paul is a great example of a servant, one who served. When he got born again, it was almost, you know, he took some time. There was a period of a few years where he went back. But when he came back, it was pure service, right? And Paul is the example, right? He's the example to us. And he came back and, man, he served. That's what he did. His heart was to serve first before he ever got served. And in Acts 26, you know, verse 13, I really got to pick a bigger font. Okay. At midday, O king, he's telling what happened to him, right? At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Thou, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To do what, right? To open their eyes, and to bring, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. How? By saying a few words, right? Isn't that what he did? What was Paul's general manner? He would go into synagogues and he would do preach Christ unto them. By preaching Christ unto them, what was he doing? He was opening their eyes and turning them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. The same thing your words can do for anybody, right, that you choose to. If I speak the word to somebody, you can turn them from the power of Satan into the power of God. That's a pretty remarkable shift in life, right? With just a few words that we can deliver to somebody can bring them, right? How dare I ever hoard that knowledge for myself, right? If I'm going to live for Christ, I'm not going to keep that to myself, right? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, verse 19, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I did what I was told, right? But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause, these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, right? Who makes you an able minister? He didn't do it himself. I obtained help of God. I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. I'm not saying anything new. I'm just telling them what the word said. Right? And who helped him? God helped him. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all them that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Except these bonds, if you can do anything about that. That'd be great. You know, so here he is. He said he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. Jesus Christ appeared to him and said, here, you're going to be a minister. And he said, I left my whole life, he said, witnessing both to small and to great. He put it out there, right? He didn't turn back and say, okay, now I've got forgiveness in my life sort of. Tomorrow, this year, I'm going to work on, you know, he didn't keep looking at himself. The greatest way to see great blessing in our lives is to give to others. Didn't Jesus Christ say something like that? Something like, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Know what he said? You see, as we give, the blessings come back, right? Which is not to say that if I have a problem in my life in an area that I can't look at God's word and trying to find a solution, but if my whole life is oriented towards looking at me and what can God do for me and how can I get blessed and what am I going to get out of this today, then I've missed the calling that he called me to, right? That he called us to, right? You know, turning a person from the power of God, from the power of Satan to the power of God is a pretty amazing change in a person's life, right? You sit down and think about that for a minute. What your words, rightly spoken, in some situation, some instance of your daily life, could do that for a person, 1,000 years from now, you'll be glad you spoke those words, right? It may not seem so easy to do today, but 1,000 years from now, you'll be glad you did. And so will the person you spoke them to, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. A little practical look at how Paul did what he did. I know it's not easy all the time. You know, we live in the world. It's not a very receptive world to the Word of God. I know that. We all know that. So what? Right? You know, I mean, we do a lot of things in life that require a lot of strength, a lot of energy, a lot of endurance, a lot of planning, a lot of finances. We do it all the time, right? Why? Because maybe some of those things we think are worth something to us, right? How about turning somebody from the power of Satan to the power of God? Is that worth something to you, right? I don't know. Like, only you can decide that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. There where I want to start. Yeah. It says, for it is written in verse 9, in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. He's talking about, you know, when they used to, the cows would walk through the corn fields and they wouldn't put a muzzle on the poor cow's face because they let the cow eat the grains as they went through, right? Just, you know, after all, it needs to eat. Doth God take care of oxen? Is God only concerned about oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be... So Paul was making a case here, was telling them that, you know, like, because he was speaking the word to them regularly, that there was no problem with them taking care of his physical needs. That was perfectly acceptable. The same way that the cows would eat, right? Then they were allowed to eat the corn, right? The corn was taking care of them. He said, you know, he's showing them that he, in this situation, had every right for them to supply his need, take care of him. I love this next verse, right? That was biblically a sound thing for him to do. But love the next verse. Verse 12. If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. He said, I know I can do that, but I have not done it, right? That's what he said. Why? Well, we'll see. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. You see, he was so concerned about reaching out that he didn't want anybody to even look disparagingly on him. Well, you know, he did that because his needs would be supplied by us. And he didn't want to have anything to do with it because that might hinder the gospel of Christ. See, he was so adamant about reaching forth with that he didn't even do the things that he was allowed to do, right? Let's keep reading. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? Right? Weren't the priests allowed to take some of the tithe and eat the food? And that's what it was. They weren't allowed to own lands, but you know, they were allowed to use that food. And they which wait at the altar, there are partakers with the altar, they get to eat some of the food. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel, right? It makes perfect sense. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. He said, look, I'm not telling you this, Corinthians, because now I want you to take care of me. That's not what I'm telling you. What was he telling them? Keep reading. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That was the whole point. He goes, whatever it took to preach the gospel, to make it available, that's what he wanted to do. For if I do the thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Why do you think Paul had probably the highest position in the church spiritually? Right there. Right? Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? You want position? You will be the servant of all. What did Paul just say? I have made myself servant unto all. Right? There he is. There was no named position for Paul, was there? Right? No. I think he did write a few epistles, though. I love this section here. I have made myself servant unto all. Why? That I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Right? He did whatever it took to identify and communicate with people, whether they were Jewish or Gentiles, or what, that he could reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he did on a day-by-day basis. To me, it's great learning for us. You know, like, we hang out with different people all the time, all of us. Like, how far do you go in bringing the gospel to somebody? You know, you go out and have a few beers with some guys? Yeah, fine. Maybe some guys don't like beer. Maybe some guys like, I don't know, green Kool-Aid. That would be a hard time to witness there. But anyhow, you know, whatever it takes, right, to reach people with the gospel is the point here, right? The point is he did whatever it took. So if you want to hang out with somebody, fine. 21, to them that are without law, as without law, right? So some days he didn't offer a sacrifice. Some days he did. He knew it wasn't necessary, but if it helped. Remember when he first met Timothy? What did he do with Timothy? He circumcised him. Did he have to do that? No, but he did it so the gospel could move, right? He even told Timothy, you know, I know it wasn't necessary, but your father was a Greek, so we got to do this thing. It'll make it easier to move the word. That's why he did it. I'm sure Timothy had a few objections, but hey, that's the way it goes. But verse 21. Being not without law to God, he never went so far that he compromised on God's word. Right? Didn't go that far. So hang out with the Gentiles, have a beer or two. Would he have 20? No, because that would compromise the gospel. Right? Would he? You know, how far do you go with somebody? You know, hang out with a bunch of buddies. Oh yeah, guys, let's go smoke some dope. Well, you know, maybe I want to stop there. You know, let me tell you, I don't really do that kind of thing. But you know, you want to do that, fine. But let me show you something else that puts you higher than that, like above all principality, right? Anyhow, that I might gain them that are without law. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, right? If I can reach somebody, I'll do what it takes to reach somebody. That sounds like a minister, right? Somebody who is not looking to get ministered onto, but somebody who would like to minister and reach out. Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, the exhortation, so now you run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You don't ever go outside the bounds of God's word, right? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So you go so far out to help people that you were, how the heck did I get here? I didn't mean to go to all these Buddhist services, you know, and worship their God to get, you know, whatever, you know. He didn't do that. He took it as far as necessary to take the gospel to people. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 8. Just last of all, he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. You know, you might think that because the grace that he had, you know, he could say, because of the grace, I was so blessed. All my needs were met. You know, every day there was enough food for me to eat. I was at peace all the time. You know, I was able to read, you know, but what does he say? He says, by revelation, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Because of grace, he was able to work harder than anybody. There's a, you know, bit of a contradiction. It's a grace sometimes. Well, it's just grace. Let's relax. It's grace. Everything's cool. He says, because of grace, he was able to work harder than anybody, right? Man. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Who has enabled us? Who wants to see the gospel move and be reaching people more than you and me? We said it in the prayers today, right? Somebody mentioned, wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, right? Who is that? God, right? He wants the word of God to move. So you think he could help us? He could help us be, you know, we're born again to serve others. Serve, reach out to people, reach out to one another. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, a few more verses. And we'll have covered every verse on the topic of serving the New Testament. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. As behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, talking to the believers, but I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So the parents were to help the children, not the children the parents. Verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He goes, look, it doesn't matter. He said, I will still serve you. That's what he said to them. Even while I'm serving you, he said, if you love me less, I'm going to love you more. Right? That's service, boy. Service isn't easy, right? That's why he uses words like labor. You know, labor. I know most kids don't understand the word labor. A little shot at all the teenagers out there. You know, labor is hard work. Sorry. You know, labor is hard work. Because we have grace, we can work harder than anybody else can because we have God enabling us. You see, the great ability that Christ has given us by his work allows us to work harder than anybody else, right? Allows us to produce more. I don't mean in terms of number of people coming to the gospel. I don't mean that. I just mean the amount of work, whether we're doing our studies in school, whether we're doing work at home, whether we're doing whatever we're doing, we're able to produce more and give more because we're enabled by the work of Jesus Christ. So he says, Paul's heart was, look, I don't care if I get anything out of this, because the children aren't supposed to lay up for the parents, the parent for the children. But he goes, you're my kids, he said, I'm going to love you more. Even as I'm doing that, you love me less, right? That's service. That's our heart of service, right? In first, well, let's get that. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Like I was saying, it's very easy, right, as believers to lose focus, lose sight of what it is to minister or to be minister onto others. It is. It's very easy to spend time saying, well, Father, here are my needs. How can you deal with them today? Right? And, you know, that's fine. God's our Father. Like, kids come to their parents, say, I got to eat, right? Where's my food? You know, I need a new pair of skates. I need this. I need that. I need something. You know, that's fine. Parents take care of kids, right? You know, eventually, right, doesn't that turn around eventually? Don't kids grow up and eventually start serving themselves, right? Yeah. It's called the labor force, right? Don't we get out there and work? Don't kids get out there and work eventually and start doing things for themselves and learning and reaching out? And then you start being the same as believers, right? We get born again. We get enabled. Okay, now what do? With all the information and knowledge that we have, right? Man, You don't need any more information. I don't, I mean, you know, how much of the Bible do you know? Never enough, I know that, but we can always learn more. But how much more do we need in order to learn how to reach out and serve, right? We've been enabled. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, and the freedom of in Christ. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the fornication of the flesh, but by love serve one another." We're in love, we're to serve one another. I don't just mean service. We've been talking a lot about preaching the gospel. But, you know, believers who are born again need the gospel just as much as those who haven't heard it. Right? I don't know about you. I need the word of God every day. Right? We all need it. So for you to speak the word to me or me to speak it to you, right? That's by love serving one another. I can serve the gospel. You can serve it to me. I'd appreciate it. In Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Those words, burden, are both two different words. There are certain burdens that we can bear for others, and we're exhorted to do that. There are other burdens that people must bear for themselves. They're completely different Greek words, right? One is a burden that we can help. Other ones you can't. You know, there are some things you just can't get anybody's help with. You got to bear them yourself, right? But in the body of Christ, we help one another, right? Verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, this shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit it shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You see, that call to serve, to reach out and serve, to live for Christ, to be a minister, to serve. In Ephesians chapter 6, the whole section is worth reading, but just a couple of verses in Ephesians 6, where it's talking about how we're to conduct ourselves in the body of Christ as believers, as parents, as children, as husbands, as wives, as workers, as masters, all in the context of how you keep Jesus as your Lord, right? In Ephesians 6:5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ." You see, no matter what you do in your service to one another, in the end, who is it you are serving? Jesus Christ. He's your master, right? Isn't he? Lord, right? Lord, master. He's our Lord. So when I'm serving you, or you're serving me, or you're serving your boss, you're serving your husband, your wife, your child, your dad, or your mom, when you do that thing, you know, that's maybe a real tough thing to learn. You know, I asked Nathan, "I want you to vacuum the floor in here," right? I mean, in his heart, it's his dad asking him, but if Jesus is his Lord, who is he serving, right? Christ. His attitude towards that particular task ought to be one towards, well, yeah, my dad asked me to do that, but if I do that, I'm obedient to him. My service is to Christ, right? That's how we live life. Servants, be obedient. Verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." Even if you're working for men, working for parents, working for brothers, sisters, whatever, cousins, whatever, your end service is to God, right? Let's close in Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews 6. There's a great epistle, the epistle of Philemon, you know, in the New Testament that... it's worth reading along these lines, you know, about service. It's a great epistle on service, There's a the great verse I love in that epistle is where it says that, you know, Paul asks this man to do something for him. He says, and he says, you know, I know you're a wonderful man, and I know you're going to do this. And he said, and I also know you're going to do even more than I say. That's what he says to him. He goes, you're going to do more than I say. And that's what the heart of service for a believer is. You know, I ask, you know, you're asked to do something. Not only do you do that and you do a little more. Just that extra little blessing. You know, you do it with all your heart. Oh yeah, mom asked me to do dishes. You know what? I might just clean the microwave or something. I might just clean the window or something. Just an example, you know. My boss asked me to put a presentation together. You know what? I'm going to do that. And I give him a little extra. It's you do more than you're asked to do. That's service. That's service from the heart as unto Christ and not as unto men, right? And finally, in Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God won't forget, right? And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, right, inherit the promises, right? The everlasting blessings of living with that heart of service to the Lord are everlasting, right? It's everlasting. God will not forget, right? So, you know, in our service, recognize that, you know, whatever needs we have in our own lives, and there are always going to be needs, right? Those needs get more easily met as we serve, right, in the body of Christ. As we reach out and serve, it's amazing how things happen. You know, I don't know how God figures all that out, and I'm not supposed to, right? You know, so as we desire to serve, you'll see your needs get met. So instead of me focusing on myself and what can I do, what can I get out of this, how am I going to get blessed, right? There's this need in, you know, as a believer to reach out. How can I bless you? How can I serve you? Or how can I serve my people I work with? Or how can I reach out? How can I, you know, conduct myself so the gospel can get to this person? What can I do, right? And that outward reaching for out, right? God is able to open the blessings to you in an amazing way, right? So, born again to serve is you know, again, it's right throughout the New Testament. Look at the end of Paul's life. You know, what does he say? I've run a good race. I've finished the course, right? I've kept the right way of believing. You know, right from the time he was commissioned to the time that he was about to fall asleep, right? He said he kept that faith, right? And for us to do that, that's exciting. It's an exciting calling. It's a great calling. Thankful that God would do that. Allow us to hold his word. Allow us to be able to share it with one another, but with others. It's a really, really amazing, you know, respectful calling from God for us, to us. And he gave us his word. Wow. So, that's that.